It's time for Marshall Wealth Radio with Mike Marshall. Mike specializes in servicing his clients' overall financial needs, including asset management, retirement planning, estate planning, and insurance planning. And now, your host of Marshall Wealth Radio, Rod Fritz.
Welcome to Marshall Wealth Radio, and I'm Rod Fritz, along with Mike Marshall, CEO and founder of Marshall Wealth Management. And you can reach Mike. I'm going to give you his phone number right off the bat here at 857-342-1030. That's 857-342-1030. Also, check out Mike's website, marshallwealth.com. That's Marshall with two L's, marshallwealth.com. He also has a page on Facebook, and that's Marshall Wealth on Facebook. So, Mike, welcome back to Marshall Wealth Radio.
Thank you, my friend. It's always great to be here with you on RKO.
Oh, indeed it is. Indeed it is. And, you know, we're going to go right to the news. So I'd say normally let's go to the videotape, but we can't because this is radio.
Correct.
It's Marshall Wealth Radio, as a matter of fact. All right. So in the news, Mike, it almost sounds like I'm repeating myself. We do have a $40 billion pledge from the President Biden to aid Ukraine.
Yes.
And that, of course, has an effect on us.
Well, no question about it. I mean, there's been considerable disagreement in Washington about the $40 billion aid package. It's both a military and a humanitarian package. But from what I have read and what I understand, there's a lot of what we call fluff. You know what I mean by fluff, Rod?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Do I ever.
Dollars that have been allocated as part of the $40 billion. There's no direct use for the funds. They could be used for a thousand different things. May or may not to have to do with directly with the humanitarian or the military aid to Ukraine.
Hmm. I believe in political wings that is called pork barrel.
Yes. And, you know, this country, we continue to support and help nations that need our help, but meanwhile, our balance sheet continues to get worse and worse. So,
yeah. You know, speaking of worse and worse, our relationship with China is not that good. As a matter of fact, this past week, the Biden administration signed a deal with Taiwan regarding semiconductors.
Right.
And that didn't sit well with the folks in China.
No.
Are we ever going to get back to decent trade and or tariffs or whatever with China?
Well, there is so many different issues that the United States has with China, but we can kind of talk about this microchip, you know, deal that they made with Taiwan. So believe it or not, China is rumored to be ready to invade Taiwan.
Yes, I know.
Just like Russia invaded Ukraine. And one of the major reasons is because Taiwan produces so much of the world's semiconductor chips, which we have already discussed in great detail how useful these chips are in just about everything we do.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah. So these chips are like gold. They're valuable. And if China invades Taiwan and takes over Taiwan, now China is directly holding 66% of the world's chips. And that would be a disaster for the rest of the world.
Right. Is there ever a chance that the United States will get back into making semiconductor chips, in your opinion?
I think that there's no question it needs to be considered because everything we make now has one of these chips in it. So why wouldn't we bring the manufacturing back to the United States where we can control the supply and the price, whereas right now we're so dependent on other nations that you're seeing what happens when China and Taiwan and these other nations shut down because of COVID or whatnot. What happens? The supply chain just dries up.
Right, right, indeed.
And so not good.
Okay, and also not good, inflation, which continues to rear its ugly head and has for, well, ever since the beginning of the year. And the Biden administration, actually President Biden this past week said there's nothing he can do that's going to stop the high prices at the gas pump and the high price of food.
I know, it's scary. I mean, you talk about food, baby formula. In the United States, we don't have enough baby formula. And I was almost relieved to find out that it wasn't something to do with the geopolitical environment that we're dealing with right now. It, basically, a whistleblower from Abbott, the manufacturer, called in and said, hey, you know, there's some contamination going on here. Things are not being done properly. And so I guess that was in March, and then someone alerted President Biden, I guess, according to him, in April. Well, we're in June now, you know?
Right.
And there's literally thousands of families out there scrounging to find enough baby food.
Right. And it's not just baby food. If you've been to the grocery store anytime lately, I don't have the figures in front of me, but I think I'm correct in saying that no matter what you have purchased at the grocery store, be it bacon, be it dairy, be it chicken, be it vegetables, I didn't see anything there off the top of my head that was less than double-digit figures.
Exactly. And it's rampant, like you said. It's everywhere. I actually, we had the workshop this week, past week,
right,
at the Mirabeau Spa. Beautiful place, by the way. That was our first time there. And I was incredibly impressed. So we'll try to get back there again. But one of the questions I asked the audience was, can you think of anything, and I mean anything, that you buy that is not more expensive today than it was 12 months ago? And nobody could answer.
No, I can't think of anything.
There's nothing that has dropped or maintains its price. Everything is up. I would say everything is up now between 10 and 50%.
Yes, I would tend to agree with that.
How about gas? $4.76 a gallon now.
Yeah, and GasBuddy.com, which is, you know, they kind of check gas prices all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
They're predicting that within 2 weeks, which would take us to the middle of June, I believe, gas prices would be $5 a gallon.
There's no question about
it. The average. That would be the average.
Yeah, it's going to get worse before it gets better. I think we've all come to grips with that. It's just we don't know where it's going to end. I mean, how high is it going to go, Rod?
Right.
Are we looking at $8 for a gallon of gas in this country?
I hope not.
I mean, if you do, you're going to see massive demand for electric vehicles everywhere. And
yeah, but Mike, you know, the average person cannot afford an electric vehicle.
Oh, I know it. And that's why you're seeing so many government tax rebates and tax benefits for doing things like solar and electric vehicle tax credits, because they want to provide incentives for you to switch over. And they've got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
I know it's going to take a long time before the majority of drivers in this country are driving an electric vehicle.
Yeah. So here's something we haven't talked about for a while, but it is also higher, and that is healthcare costs.
Oh, man. Healthcare costs are, well, before this year, healthcare costs were rising at about 3 times the rate of inflation.
Mm-hmm.
And now, with inflation up to 8.5%, that's exactly where about healthcare is. So inflation has risen to meet the inflation that already existed in healthcare.
Wow.
And it's not getting any better in healthcare. I mean, I just read an article by Fidelity, who they basically said that the average expense for a couple, married couple, in retirement, now we're talking 25, 30 years in retirement, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Excluding any potential nursing home costs, because Rod, nursing home costs, you know, that's $15,000-$16,000 a month.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
So excluding nursing home costs, the average couple would spend around $300,000 during the course of their 25 to 30 year retirement. If you think about it, that's only $10,000 a year. That is not an exorbitant amount of money for people to spend on health care at 65, from 65 to 90. So, I mean, You don't realize that that is one of the factors that needs to be considered when you're creating your income stream in retirement.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that income stream in retirement coming up a little bit later on in the program. But I did want to let you know that the unemployment rate is very low. It's almost back to where it was before the pandemic. But there still are a lot of jobs out there.
Oh, there are way more job openings than there are job applicants. And that is another problem in this country, is that we don't have the skill level or the people to fill the job openings, mm-hmm. which is further dampening supply chain,
mm-hmm.
and it's further dampening the ability to put products on the shelf.
Yeah.
And, you know, thank God that the college students are coming home soon. And are arriving home as we speak, I believe.
Well, let's hope they want to work.
Well, that's the other thing. They'll be home, but do they want to get off the couch?
That's the big question.
Yeah.
If it were my house, you're getting off the couch.
Couldn't agree more.
Now, you mentioned a little bit earlier here, you had a workshop this past week.
We did.
We did. I want people to know that you have another workshop coming up, and that's going to be June 22nd at 11 a.m., at the Paul Pratt Library in Cohasset. And this workshop will cover what, Mike?
We're going to focus on taxes and retirement.
Yeah.
And with an emphasis on what I call the big three: legal, financial, and tax. Those three, really, you need to have a plan for each area. One plan for each of the three areas, and then those three plans need to be cohesive, and they need to speak with one another. They need to communicate so that your goals are being accomplished through not just your financial plan, but your estate plan and your tax planning as well.
Okay, and that's coming up June 22nd, another workshop with Mike Marshall from Marshall Wealth Management, June 22nd, 11 a.m. at the Paul Pratt Library in Cohasset. And you can sign up for this workshop by calling Mike at 857-342-1030, 857-342-1030. You can also do it online at marshallwealth.com, Marshall with two L's, Marshall Wealth, but all one word, .com. It's a great-looking website, Mike. You know, coming up here on Marshall Wealth Radio, we're going to talk about some changes that the IRS has announced, right?
Yeah, well, they announced the changes at the end of 21 for the tax year 2022. So mm-hmm. we want to make sure that because they've increased the contribution limits on a lot of plans and added new phase-out numbers,
okay.
I want to make sure folks are aware of it and that they are taking advantage of the ability to put more money away in their pre-tax retirement plan.
Oh, we definitely need to do that. That's coming up. Also, we've got the tip of the week coming up. And, Mike, we have a special guest, which we're going to invite to our program here at Marshall Wealth Radio coming
up. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We're going to talk a lot about Social Security with my friend and co-worker, Paul Kilday. Paul is a retirement income certified professional. He's been a licensed life insurance rep and holds the Series 6, 63, and 65 securities registrations.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to that portion of the program, but a lot coming up on Marshall Wealth Radio, so stay with us here on WRKO. I'm Rod Fritz. Today's headlines report of record high inflation, escalating interest rates, and military conflicts. If you are entering or in retirement, you likely have feelings of uncertainty. You need a plan. A Marshall Plan. Marshall Wealth Management is a group of experienced financial professionals that provide clients with fully customized, comprehensive financial services, along with a special level of communication and accountability. Mike Marshall invites you to attend his next educational workshop, Wednesday, June 22nd at Paul Pratt Library in Cohasset. Visit marshallwealth.com today and reserve your seat. Wednesday, June 22nd at Paul Pratt Library in Cohasset. Visit marshallwealth.com. That's Marshall with two L's. MarshallWealth.com. MarshallWealth.com. And we are back on Marshall Wealth Radio here on WRKO. I'm Rod Fritz, along with Mike Marshall, CEO and founder of Marshall Wealth Management. And Mike, again, welcome back to Marshall Wealth Radio.
Thank you, sir.
Now, we mentioned just before the break that we were going to talk about the IRS. Mm-hmm. Even when I say that, it gives me the
creepy, isn't it?
Chills. The IRS has announced some changes to retirement plans for 2022.
Right. And basically, back in late 21, they gave us some changes that we could utilize for 2022. And so now here we are, halfway through 2022.
That's correct, yeah.
And I just want to make sure that folks out there have reallocated their investments to include more deposits in 2022, because you are allowed more deposits.
Okay.
In the 401k space, 403bs, 457s for government plans and whatnot, $20,500 is now the limit on contributions, all right? Mm. Roth IRAs, unfortunately, they left it at $6,000. And that's a shame, because the Roth is the one area that you can withdraw funds in retirement and not have to worry about taxes. And they didn't increase the contribution limits for the Roth.
Well, I wonder why.
Because,
well, you never know, right?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make much sense, but they did what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Then the taxpayers can only deduct contributions to a traditional IRA now if they meet certain conditions. So one of them is if neither the taxpayer or their spouse is covered by a retirement plan at work, then their full contribution to a traditional IRA is deductible.
Okay.
But again, it's only $6,000 or $7,000 a year. It's not like they've increased the IRAs, traditional and Roth, to match the increase in the 401ks and the 403bs. They've left the IRAs alone as far as contribution limits. And they did introduce some new traditional income phase-out ranges for 2022. And they are, so a single taxpayer who's covered by a workplace retirement plan, the phase-out for pre-tax contributions on a traditional IRA starts at $68,000 and it ends at $78,000. For a married couple who happens to be filing jointly, the phase-out starts at $109,000 of income and ends at $129,000 of income. And that applies when the spouse making the contribution is covered by a workplace retirement plan, okay?
Uh-huh.
And then finally, a taxpayer who's not covered by a plan at work, who is married to someone who is covered, that starts phasing out at $204,000 of income and ends at $214,000. So it can be definitely a little confusing. I highly recommend you work with a tax professional, which I am not, but we do have them available to our clients and folks on an as-needed basis. The Roth IRA contributions, they also have phase-out limits too, and I just want to read those to make sure folks understand.
Sure.
So for a single taxpayer, the Roth IRA phase-out begins at $129,000 of income. And it ends at $144,000. So that's the phase-out range for single taxpayers. Married filing jointly, the phase-out starts at $204,000 and ends at $214,000. And then married filing separately, $0 to $10,000 is the phase-out.
And that's isn't that also the $0 to $10,000 married filing a separate return? In the previous one, the traditional IRA income phase out?
There are a few people that are married filing a separate return, but very, very few. And I think the bulk of folks who are married are filing a joint return.
Okay. So let's talk about different retirement plan that can be reliable, flexible. Six questions that you're going to answer for us. But let's start with how I can avoid unnecessary taxes.
Well, isn't that the question of the week, huh?
Oh, I love that question.
We have a tip of the week, and we should have a question of the week.
Okay. That's right.
That's the $800,000 question, Rod. How do I avoid unnecessary taxes? And I think in retirement, the best way to avoid unnecessary taxes is to have a plan. You just cannot emphasize how important it is for you to have a plan to distribute income in retirement. Income that, number one, is tax efficient. Secondly, is not aggressively invested so that it can be reliable and flexible enough to provide the income you need, including changes for things like inflation, one-time expenses, increase in taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those factors have to do with designing your income stream. And you talk about the six questions. You know,
yes.
Number one, how can I avoid unnecessary taxes? We've talked a little bit about that. But the other ones are, you know, where do I take the money from? If I have a nest egg with seven or eight different investments in it, for example, your 401k is part of your nest egg, Social Security, your property, maybe your primary residence, maybe an investment property, your Roth, your savings account, your IRA,
mm-hmm.
and your pension.
Right.
All of those assets and income make up your retirement nest egg. But remember, the problem with that is that you don't own your entire nest egg, Rod. You have a partner. And guess who the partner is?
Three letters?
It's three letters. It starts with an I, it ends with an S, and there's an R in the middle.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
get it.
I do get it. So how much can I take from different things?
Well, how much you can take is a multiple of, number one, how it's invested, right? How long do you need it to last? And what's the interest rate on the earnings? So there's a lot of factors. And then secondly is we always factor in when we withdraw taxable income, so income from taxable sources like IRAs, 401ks, et cetera, what does that do to your effective tax rate? We're going to talk a little bit about an effective tax rate versus the tax bracket, okay? So, but basically every decision you make in terms of how do I withdraw funds needs to be taxes considered. How long is it going to last? Again, that's definitely a question that needs to be answered.
Right.
And that is a result of how fast you're spending it, what it's earning, and what you're paying to the government and the state of Massachusetts, by the way, in taxes every time you make a withdrawal.
But right now, we're dealing with some of the worst inflation in 40 years.
Horrible.
So does it increase with inflation?
Well, your plan needs to increase with inflation. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to meet your expenses on a monthly basis. And inflation now is at a point where there isn't a plan in the world that factors in an 8.5% inflation rate. You know,
nice if it did, but no, you're right. You're absolutely right.
It's just obnoxious that inflation would soar to those levels. The typical inflation, 2.5%, 3% on average. You know, so when you do a budget or an income plan for a client in retirement, we're always taking into account some sort of cost of living or inflation rate, but it's more in line with 2 to 3% than it is with 8 or 8.5%. That 8.5% will absolutely destroy any budget, and it'll remove most, if not all, of the disposable income for our retired clients on a monthly basis.
Before we get into this income tax rate and the tables, I just wanted to go back for a moment and remind people that you do have a workshop coming up on June 22nd at the Paul Pratt Library in Cohasset. It's at 11 a.m. Again, June 22nd, Paul Pratt Library in Cohasset at 11 a.m. Marshall Wealth Management Workshop. With Mike Marshall, of course, and you can sign up for this workshop at 857-342-1030, 857-342-1030. You can also sign up online at marshallwealth.com. That's Marshall with two L's, marshallwealth.com. And you'll be covering a lot of information at this upcoming workshop at the Paul Pratt Library in Cohasset.
We will. We have a lot to talk about.
So I'm looking here. We have seven different tax rates.
Yeah, right? So in 2022, the federal government, the IRS, comes out with their income tax table. And what they do is they basically break down income into brackets. So your income is not taxed at what we call a flat tax. Your income is taxed in staggered rates. So, for example, your income tax bracket or your marginal tax rate is different from your effective tax rate because not all of your income is taxed at the same rate. So, for example, if you're married filing jointly and you have up to $20,550 of taxable income, there is no tax due. Pretty cool.
That's, yeah.
As soon as you hit $20,551, however, you pay 10% tax plus 12% of everything over $20,551. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, for an example, let's say you had $83,551 of taxable income. Your tax would be $9,615 plus 22% of anything over 83.
Okay.
So that's kind of where the rubber meets the road as far as income for retirees. Now, I'm not talking about gross income. I'm talking about taxable income, okay? Many people have income sources in retirement that are not necessarily taxable. So in that case, at $83,000, you're actually paying an effective tax rate of 11.5%, even though you've just touched the 22% bracket as far as any income over $83,551.
Hmm.
So I'm just trying to explain. And the thing is that the effective tax rate is more in line with what we actually pay, not necessarily the marginal tax rate, which is basically what they're talking about are the brackets that the government creates on an annual basis to tell us how much we owe.
Right. So the percent of income mm-hmm. is one column, but the marginal tax rate
right.
is another column.
Right. The marginal tax rate will always be higher than the effective tax rate. Okay?
Okay.
So what we want to do is we want to always be looking at what our tax rate is from a marginal tax bracket
okay.
as well as a effective tax bracket.
Okay. Okay. Very good. Explain the flat tax, if you can, in less than a minute.
It's a regressive tax. And basically what it does is it applies the exact same tax rate to every taxpayer, regardless of your income bracket. Okay. A flat tax, you know, it's the same tax all for every taxpayer with no deductions or exemptions. But there are certain allowances for deductions that they're considering. But most flat tax systems are used exclusively in certain situations.
Okay.
The U.S. government is never going to go to a flat tax.
No, I don't think so. Although it's been a political issue for candidates over the years, going back decades, actually. Some recommending a flat tax and others saying no way. All right, you're listening to Marshall Wealth Radio. That's Mike Marshall. I'm Rod Fritz. And coming up, Paul Kilday. He will be joining us talking about different strategies with Social Security,
yes.
right?
Yeah, Paul is extremely well-versed in Social Security, and he is our resident Social Security expert at Marshall Wealth Management.
Yeah, and you know what else? We're going to have the tip of the week coming up, too, right here on Marshall Wealth Radio on WRKO. And we're back on Marshall Wealth Radio with Mike Marshall, CEO and founder of Marshall Wealth Management. I'm Rod Fritz, and you're listening to us on WRKO. You can reach Mike at 857-342-1030, also at marshallwealth.com. That's on the web. You know, before the break, Mike, we had mentioned we were going to talk about this, and that is the tip of the week. So here we are, the tip of the week, and what is it?
The tip of the week, Rod, is to make sure you update the beneficiaries and titles on all assets and insurance policies after the death of a loved one.
Mm. And there's a big reason for that, isn't there?
Yes, because the beneficiaries listed on the accounts and the policies will supersede anything you put in your estate plan. So I don't care what your will says, if your beneficiary designation is your girlfriend and not your husband, then your girlfriend is getting the money when you pass. Mm-hmm. And so it's so important. And the hard thing is that, think about it. You go through the passing of a loved one. There's grieving. It's difficult to move on. And under certain circumstances, there may be families involved and children involved. But this must be done regardless. As bad as you might feel and as awful as the situation may be, at some point, you've got to go back and revisit the key people in your plan, both your financial plan and your estate plan, to make sure that it's still up to date. Because if, God forbid, something happens and you didn't get a chance to review it and make the adjustments, now your children are in a bad situation. And that's the last thing any parent wants.
Oh, absolutely. So again, the tip of the week is make sure that you update the beneficiaries and the titles on all of your assets and insurance policies after the death of a loved one. You're listening to Marshall Wealth Radio with Mike Marshall and Rod Fritz, and now with Paul Kilday. And I'm going to let you, Mike, introduce Paul to the program.
Yes, sir. Paul Kilday, he's a local guy. He is an RICP, Rod, a retired income certified professional. And Paul holds a Series 6, 63, and 65 securities licensed. He is a member of our team at Marshall Wealth Management, and his primary focus obviously is on wealth management, but specifically Social Security. Mm. Such an important subject for anybody who's approaching retirement age.
Yeah, especially since we've been paying into it since we started working.
That's right. And so what Paul does is he'll sit down with a client. Usually what he wants to do is ask a client to bring their Social Security estimated statement with them, and they can print that off SSA.gov. And once Paul has that Social Security statement, there's so many things he can do with it. It's just incredible. I'm going to let him tell us a little bit more. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mike, and thanks, Rod, for having me. Really excited to be here today.
And we're happy to have you, buddy.
Absolutely.
So Social Security is such an in-depth, complex subject. Can you kind of break it down for us and just tell us what Social Security is and how it works?
Yeah, of course. So the Social Security system was created in 1935 in order to help people financially when they retire, right? You know, essentially, the Social Security Trust Fund is primarily funded from the taxation of wages earned by the current workforce, right? So these funds are then used to pay out benefits to the program's beneficiaries.
Being in this position now, Paul, where less people are working, it's less contributions to the trust fund?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, I like to start, you know, a lot of people then kind of pivot and ask me, well, how much have I paid in taxes into the Social Security fund? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I ask them, well, have you ever looked at one of your pay slips and seen the FICA tax, F-I-C-A? Usually people will either smile, you know, or raise their hand and say, yeah. And it, essentially that FICA tax stands for the Federal Insurance Contributions Act tax. That FICA tax is the Social Security Trust Fund tax. It is a 6.2% tax on all earned income up to $147,000. in 2022.
Mm-hmm. So I want to thank you for explaining what FICA stands for, because all these years I had no clue. And I mean, I knew it was Social Security, but I never understood why they just didn't say SS instead of FICA. And I think now I know, because they wanted to hide it from us. But that's just my opinion. All right, Paul. So, you know, we've contributed now to Social Security. We've seen the FICA tax deduction every year. How do you qualify for some of these benefits from Social Security?
Yeah, great question. So once you start paying that FICA tax by earning wages, you have started to contribute to Social Security, right? And you're earning credits to qualify for it. And once you've earned 40 credits, you and your spouse qualify for a future Social Security income benefit.
I got you. So once you qualify, how do they determine how much you're eligible for?
So once you've earned a credit, right? So let me rewind real quick. So mm-hmm. How do you earn a credit is usually the question that comes next. So you earn one Social Security credit for every time you earn $1,510. Right. So a lot of people say, well, that's pretty easy. Most people probably qualify in 1 year. Right. It's not the case. Right. The maximum credits you can receive in 1 year is 4. So you need to work at least 10 years in order to qualify for Social Security benefits. Mm-hmm.
OK,
would hope so. At 10 years, is the benefit small usually?
Yes, and I'll tell you why, right? Because the amount your benefit is, it's determined by averaging your highest 35 years of salary, right? So if you don't have 35 years of salary, mm-hmm. they're still going to divide your future benefit by 35. Uh-huh. What they do is they just simply input zeros in those years that you did not work. So, you know, when people see their benefits, say at age 58, 59, and they say, oh, look at that, I'm going to get, you know, $3,000 a month in Social Security at my full retirement age. And so I'm going to stop working right now. That's not necessarily the case, right? Because if they have not received the 35 years, or they've not worked for 35 years, they're going to simply input zeros. And another factor that people don't realize is that most people are earning the highest salary they've ever received, right, towards the end of retirement. So when people decide they're going to stop working earlier, they're missing out on paying that FICA tax and getting that extra benefit added to their future Social Security income.
That makes total sense. So what you put in has an impact on what you get out. I like that.
Of course.
So as far as, I mean, obviously it's confusing and there's a lot going on with Social Security in general. Where can clients access their specific Social Security information so that they can look at earnings and things like that?
Right. So clients can simply go on ssa.gov and simply sign up. There's a sign up button in the top right corner. And I like to tell people it's easier than setting up a Netflix account. You'll just go through some questions. You'll have to have your Social Security information. You'll set up some security questions, and then you're good to go to access your statements. You can utilize on the calculators that they have. And just a kind of a fun little input there. The Social Security Administration stopped mailing out paper statements in 2011, and it actually saved the administration in that first year $120 million from paper.
That's a lot of money.
I want some.
That's a lot of paper.
All right. So Paul, you mentioned a little bit earlier about the number of credits that you receive over the years and how that adds up for your benefits. And you also talked about claiming your Social Security. And the question here is kind of twofold. But when should you claim your Social Security benefit? And what happens if you claim it before or after your full retirement age?
Yeah, so, you know, it's going to be different for each person. Every single individual is going to be in a different situation. But, you know, a person that's qualified for a benefit, they're entitled to start their benefit, you know, at age 62. Now, you know, depending on the year you were born, that's going to dictate your full retirement age. Your full retirement age is the age in which you're entitled to your primary insurance amount, which is simply a fancy way of saying 100% of your Social Security benefit, right? So people born since 1943 will have a full retirement age that falls between age 66 and age 67. So that year, the year in which you were born, will dictate your full retirement age and then your full benefit. Now, you know, Rod, you said, you know, what happens if you claim before or after your your full retirement age? Right. Well, so as I said, you know, you're entitled and you're eligible to take your benefits starting as early as age 62 or as late as age 70. Now, if you take your Social Security early, let's just say it's 62, your benefit's going to be reduced. Now, the reduction, you can see these graphs that'll show the actuarial reduction, but it does depend on your full retirement age. So it's going to reduce if you take it early, obviously. And then on the flip side of that, if you defer your benefit, then your benefit is going to be more than your primary insurance amount. And every year of deferral past your full retirement age, your benefit is going to increase by 8%. So if your full retirement age is, say, age 67, and you want to defer it to the maximum to age 70 or 3 years, your benefit is going to be 124% of whatever your primary insurance amount was at your full retirement age.
Excellent. And so let's just say I'm 60. I've got a couple of years to go before I'm even going to think about claiming, Paul. What are some of the things I need to consider before I actually make a claim?
Yeah, that's a great question. So what a lot of people don't realize is that the Social Security Administration does not want you to claim your benefit and still work. Mm-hmm. You can do it, but there's what they have called an earnings test.
Right.
So essentially how it works is that let's just use a broad example, right? So your full retirement age is 67. You're turning 62. You're now eligible for a reduced benefit, right? Mm-hmm. If you decide, you say, hey, you know what? I'm going to turn on my Social Security. I'm going to give myself a nice little pay raise. You know, I'm entitled to $20,000 at 62. That sounds great. Well, any earnings, right? So wages, so you're working. Any earnings above $19,560, anything beyond that will reduce your Social Security benefit $1 for every $2 above that amount. So let's look at a quick example. You have a client just turned 62. We have that $19,560 threshold. Let's just say that they make $40,000 that year, not including the Social Security benefit, right? Let's just say that they went $20,000 over that stress test amount. Their Social Security benefit that they're anticipating is another $20,000. But because they exceeded the earnings threshold by 20 grand, their Social Security benefit is then reduced by half. So their Social Security benefit is actually reduced by 50% or $10,000.
Wow.
All right, Paul, don't go away because we have more questions for you regarding Social Security. And by the way, if you have any questions at all from what you've been hearing here on Marshall Wealth Radio, give a call to 857-342-1030. That's Marshall Wealth Management, 857-342-1030. Mike Marshall, he's right here. He's the CEO and founder of Marshall Wealth Management, and will answer your questions. We are talking with Paul Kilday. He is an RICP. And no, that's not the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. That is the Retirement Income Certified Professional. And we'll talk with him with more questions coming right back on Marshall Wealth Radio on WRKO. I'm Rod Fritz. Today's headlines report of record high inflation, escalating interest rates, and military conflicts. If you are entering or in retirement, you likely have feelings of uncertainty. You need a plan, a Marshall Plan. Marshall Wealth Management is a group of experienced financial professionals that provide clients with fully customized, comprehensive financial services, along with a special level of communication and accountability. Mike Marshall invites you to attend his next educational workshop, Wednesday, June 22nd at Paul Pratt Library in Cohasset. Visit MarshallWealth.com today and reserve your seat. Wednesday, June 22nd at Paul Pratt Library in Cohasset. Visit MarshallWealth.com. That's Marshall with two L's. MarshallWealth.com. MarshallWealth.com. And we are back, Marshall Wealth Radio on WRKO with Mike Marshall and Paul Kilday. I'm Rod Fritz. And let's get right back, Mike, to Paul, because there's some interesting questions here that we've been asking him, but even better answers, especially for folks out there listening regarding Social Security.
I don't know. He has a special way of breaking it down, puts it in layman's terms.
And I need that.
I need it as well. Are you kidding me? So I've listened to other Social Security speakers and never really could grasp what it was all about until I spoke with Paul. And that's right. When I decided we needed him at the firm.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can reach Marshall Wealth Management at 857-342-1030. Also on the web at MarshallWealth.com. That's Marshall with two L's, MarshallWealth.com.
That's right. And I'm happy to report that Paul will be at the workshop in Cohasset. And he will do a presentation on Social Security.
Oh, that's great.
Not only will he do a presentation on Social Security, but he will be available after the workshop to either discuss your specific situation or schedule some time for a call or a meeting to do so.
And that workshop will be held June 22nd at 11 a.m. at the Paul Pratt Library in Cohasset.
Yes.
Register at 857-342-1030.
Yes. And all right, back to Paul Kilday.
Back to Paul.
We are definitely running out of time. So, Paul, okay, now you've taken us from what Social Security is, how do we qualify, earning credits, and now my question is, we've put our claim in for Social Security, we are actually receiving it, what about taxes?
Taxes, everybody's favorite part, right? So taxes are king. So when clients ask me, am I going to be taxed on my Social Security benefit? You know, it's a loaded question. And as I say, it's always going to be based on a client's specific situation. But, you know, the short answer is yes, right? But it's going to depend on what's called your provisional income.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a complex equation, but your provisional income is essentially your adjusted gross income, so all earnings, wages, dividends, interest, plus any non-taxable interest, plus half of your Social Security benefit. Now, we add that up and we look at what I like to call a cliff bracket.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to show you, based off of whatever your provisional income is, how much or what percentage of your Social Security benefit is going to be subject to federal income tax.
Okay.
Now, I'm not going to go through the tax brackets because there's a lot going on, but just know that we have the resources to determine that and to figure out your provisional income and your taxable portion.
So you're able to actually take a Social Security estimated statement, take the personal information, run it through the software, and that'll kick out a report that provides information on claiming benefits, ages, et cetera, break-even parts?
Yeah. So we have a fantastic software that we use, and really it's designed to help clients educate themselves on the best ways to claim Social Security, right?
Right.
A lot of times there's discrepancies in ages, primary insurance amounts. It's a great software. You know, the taxable portion of it we're going to need a lot of information to figure that out. Not mm-hmm. a lot of information, but we'll at least need to know your adjusted gross income,
right,
and your Social Security benefit to determine the taxable amount.
Well, you've been using that dreaded three-letter word a lot here, Paul, and that's tax. So I want to know, are there any tax-advantaged strategies that we can use to, minimize that Social Security tax?
Yes, there are.
So, oh, okay. Hold on. I'm getting my pen out.
So it's, you know, as Mike was alluding to earlier in the show, the IRS, they're going to get their hands on pretty much everything, right? I like to look at there being three different types of money, right? You have your taxable money, you have your tax deferred money, and then you have your tax advantaged money. So when it comes to distributions, when you're taking your Social Security, there's a few options that will allow you to access money, take distributions without that counting towards your Social Security tax. One is obviously cash or any savings that you have, right? You're not going to pay any taxes on that. But another option that a lot of people don't realize is a Roth IRA. Any distributions from a Roth IRA, you're not going to pay taxes on that. So there's great opportunities to just do a Roth conversion and even set it up into, say, an annuity contract that pays lifetime income. So you can create, you know, a lifetime income stream that's never going to be taxable. And it's not going to count towards your Social Security benefit, your provisional income equation. And then, you know, another option as well is a cash value from whole life insurance. Those won't count. That won't count towards your provisional income equation for tax purposes.
So the provisional income is an important factor in determining what you're going to pay in taxes.
Incredible. Okay. Incredibly important.
What about once we're receiving Social Security and, you know, hopefully we have a long life and we collect for a long time? What about, you know, increases to my benefit?
Yeah, so it's never guaranteed to grow. However, your Social Security benefit is eligible for a cost of living adjustment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you might hear someone say, COLA, cost of living adjustment is essentially a raise to your benefit.
Was that the 5.9 last year?
It was. It was 5.9, which is the highest cost of living adjustment we've seen since 1982.
Wow.
But it's essentially a raise to your benefit. If you're making, let's just say you were making $100,000 last year, you get a 2% raise, you're going to make $102,000. That's exactly what a cost of living adjustment does to your Social Security benefit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, what's going to be interesting is at the end of this year, Mike and Paul, what the COLA will be with Social Security, because as you mentioned, Paul, this past year was the highest cost of living increase since, what was it, 1982?
Yeah.
So with the inflation the way it's going now, it's going to be interesting to see. Just thought I'd throw that in. I know you don't have a crystal ball.
That's a fantastic point. And I will tell you right now that current projections for a 2023 COLA are over 8% due to inflation.
Yeah.
Wow. Incredible.
Okay. All right. So, you know, I've been listening to you and different strategies that are involved. What do you tell people about claiming some of the strategies that and the things that they need to know regarding Social Security and benefits?
Yeah, another great question. I would really first say that if you've never received a complimentary Social Security claiming strategy analysis, that you reach out and request one, because, you know, especially, you know, when it comes to spousal claiming, there's a lot of strategies that are involved, right? A lot of times there's discrepancies in ages, there's discrepancies in primary insurance amount. So it actually may make sense for one spouse to claim early and another spouse to defer their Social Security benefit. But at the same time, you know, as I always say, it is always client specific.
Right.
You know, what we can do is we can offer you an analysis. We can sit down, we can discuss it, you know, and see what options are best for you.
Paul, I am 57 years old, years young, I should say, and just about 10 years from my full retirement age, FRA, at 67. And I've often thought, I've heard Social Security won't even be here in 10 years. What can you tell us? What are some of the issues around the program, and when do you think it would be gone?
Yeah, so that's something that you hear a lot, right? You know, Social Security, what are the problems with it? Well, you know, there's 10,000 baby boomers retiring every single day, right? So there's a mass migration of the baby boomer generation. It's not the ultimate problem, but you know, we talked about the FICA tax, right? The FICA tax that is paid into the Social Security Trust Fund and then distributed to beneficiaries, right? Well, let's rewind back to 1945. 1945, there was 40 workers paying that FICA tax into the Social Security Trust Fund for every one beneficiary of Social Security. So a 40-to-1 ratio. Current estimates for 2033 are that there will be two workers paying that FICA tax into the Social Security Trust Fund for every one single beneficiary.
Wow.
And by 2034, Social Security is estimated to be fully exhausted. There'll be about 77 cents in payroll tax for every $1 owed to a beneficiary.
All right. Here's the big question then, Paul. What do we have to do to fix it?
No, this is what I tell people. It's an easy fix. It's not a popular fix, but it's an easy fix. So we talked about the FICA tax. It's currently a 6.2% tax. We could raise it, right? Mm-hmm. Raise that tax. Another option, we could raise the amount of earnings that the FICA tax is applied to. It's currently $147,000 in a person's earned income. We could raise that to $200, $250. And then the third option is a combination of the two. Raise the FICA tax and raise the earned income amount that the FICA tax is applied to. So it's an easy fix. It's just not a popular fix.
Mm-hmm. So you really believe then that something's got to be done. I mean, how can we continue to pay out benefits at the rates we're paying them out when in reality we don't even match the contributions going in for the money that's going out? That, to me, is a recipe to destroy the Social Security nest egg, if you will. And when do you think we need to get moving on a solution to this problem? Because it seems to be that it continues to get worse instead of better. And I know that with 10,000 people per day in this country turning age 65, that Social Security is basically going to get clobbered with some incredible demands on its system in the next 10 to 12 years. When do we need to start working to fix the problem before it gets to the point where we can't fix the problem?
Yeah, so another fantastic question. So right now, the Social Security Trust Fund has about $2.8 trillion in it, right? So it's becoming more and more urgent, right? So the estimations of the trust fund being exhausted are around 2034. So, you know, given our geopolitical climate and what we've seen with the pandemic, you know, Social Security has been put on the back burner. And the main reason being, it's an easy fix. It's just not going to be a popular fix.
Right.
So what I always tell people is, you know, when they ask me, what are they going to do it? And I keep telling them they're going to keep putting it off for a few years. So we may not see any legislation change in the next few years, but it will change at some point. And I always just say good luck to the politician that's going to be in charge of that.
Right.
And it also sounds, Paul, like you're not into this discussion of using money to invest in the stock market with your Social Security. Some of the things that have been discussed in years gone by.
Yeah, not so much. I mean, you know, once again, it's always going to be based off a client's specific situation. So some people, you know, they may have the ability to take that risk, whereas others, you know, may not be able to take that risk.
Right. Not only just the risk, but if you're taking your Social Security money from a guaranteed source over to something like the stock market, I would say that you'd be at significant risk if you didn't have what I call the three T's to manage the money for yourself: the time, the temperament, and the training.
I love it when you talk that way. I just want to say thank you to Paul, because this has been great, and the information that you told us about Paul has been wonderful.
Well, thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate the time.
Thanks again, Paul. We appreciate you being here.
That's Paul Kilday, a retirement income certified professional, investment advisor representative, and a licensed life insurance representative. And we've been talking not only with Paul, but of course with Mike Marshall, who is the CEO and founder of Marshall Wealth Management. And anything that you've heard on the program, including registering for the upcoming workshop on June 22nd at the Paul Pratt Library in Cohasset, call him at 857-342-1030. This is Marshall Wealth Radio. I'm Rod Fritz on WRKO.
The views and opinions expressed herein are those of the participants of the show and may or may not represent the views of Capital Analysts or Lincoln Investment. The material presented is provided for informational purposes only. All investments are subject to risk, including the risk of principal loss. Advisory services offered through Capital Analysts or Lincoln Investment, registered investment advisors. Securities offered through Lincoln Investment, broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC, www.lincolninvestment.com. Marshall Wealth Management and the above firms are independent and not affiliated. Insurance, legal, tax, or Social Security claiming services are not offered through or supervised by the Lincoln Investment Companies. WRKO and Rod Fritz are not affiliated with Lincoln Investment or Capital Analysts.
The S&P 500 Index is an index of 500 of the largest exchange-traded stocks in the U.S. from a broad range of industries whose collective performance mirrors the overall stock market. Investors cannot invest directly in an index. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
None of the information presented should be considered as tax or legal advice. You should consult your tax or legal professional for information concerning your individual situation.